very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again when I am turn.
Your fingers or your
king doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one,
but
your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king.
I'm telling mother.
Oh. Welcome to the Joffrey Podcast. My name is Bubby. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter. And with me, as always, is the dumbest Lannister. It's Catfish. Catfish, how you doing?
Hey, there's nothing like hitting the road all by yourself. I am doing great. I am Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67 on Twitter.
Catfish, This was the final episode of season 7.
Are you sure?
Episode 7, The Dragon and the Wolf.
And I was wondering why we didn't get a preview for next week's episode.
And we are going to cover it in its entirety on the Joffrey of the Podcast.
I'm so glad we're not covering half.
This episode's so long, maybe let's just cover half. Let's just do it.
Yeah, sure.
All right, and so we'll cover the half with incest or without. Which one?
Incest is best.
Well, let's get to it. We've got a lot to cover. Catfish, what is your ranking out of 10?
Well, this is tough because there are two common sayings that I say, so I couldn't decide between these two. So I give it either 8 triple T's.
Triple T's? Not familiar with that.
Yeah, no. You know I say it all the time. Tongue-twisting Targaryens.
Ooh.
Right? And the other one is the 8 triple A's.
Triple A's?
I'm saying this all the time. I don't know why you don't remember. It's awkward aunt affection.
You're saying awkward aunt affection.
Yeah. Sorry. I know some people say
aunt. You like aunt instead of aunt. Okay.
Well, awkward aunt affection.
You're saying you've never on a cruise fooled around with your aunt.
One of my aunts is a nun, and she's been a nun for like 55
years. That didn't answer the question. Wait, stop avoiding the question, Catfish. Stop avoiding the question. 8 out of 10, that's very high.
It is.
Just give me some thoughts.
Okay. It's funny that I give it an 8 out of 10 because there are two things that I'm just – that are super driving me crazy.
Three things?
Two things.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. First of all, you know, last week I said I'm going to decide how I felt about the episode last week. Maybe I was a little too harsh on it. I still feel the same way I did.
Okay.
I don't like how we got there. The whole point of the episode going north of the wall, at least for that part, was to give a dragon to the Night's King. So
always,
I like the
always
end result.
Bring a gift when you're going up north.
I do. And
when you're visiting somebody, bring
a gift. I'm happy with the end result, and I'm ready. I was ready to leave that behind.
Okay.
But we had the second part of the plan tonight.
So tell me about this third thing.
Okay. Well, the third thing is.
Okay, great.
So this plan tonight was take it down south. Well, I was glad that we had the conversations between Tyrion and Cersei. That was great. But what did we get out of it? She said she wasn't going to do it. And then she was going to do it, and as we all know, she's still not going to do it, and she's going to stab him in the back. The only thing we got out of that on this end was
what?
Jaime leaving. That was the entire thing that we got out of this.
Well, hold on. If you're going to stab Tyrion in the back, you got to stoop pretty low.
I think the best thing would have been is if Frankengregor just had a spike in his shoe and then just kicked him in the head. He wouldn't have to lift his foot very far. The other thing is the whole way this went down between Arya and Sansa and Littlefinger. Again, I love the scene. I knew exactly what was going to happen when it came in. I called it. I said it to you. This is going to be a Littlefinger. I love the scene. I was so excited for it. But there's a way that you do something in a show where you give people everything and you still manage to surprise them. And there's a cheap way where you surprise people is, which is you show them scenes that lead them down the wrong way and then you surprise them because they had incomplete information. And that's what this did here. So I'm very frustrated with those two things.
You hate double eyes, incomplete information.
I do. However, there's still so much amazing stuff. I'm happy we go forward now. I don't like the way certain things were done, but I'm glad they happened. And there were some amazing things in this episode. And so I gave it an 8, despite my strong reservations about the continually stupid plan with grabbing a White Walker. And I was unhappy with the way they tried to do a shell game with us with Arya and Sansa and Littlefinger.
You, Catfish, I love you, but you seem to be focusing on those two points that you didn't give it to give it 10 out of 10.
I know, that's
so
why
what
I'm
what
saying.
Is the 8 what where did the 8 come from? What is the positive
okay.
of this?
Well, okay, well, first of all, the end. Now, we'd always called that the White Walkers would be coming over the wall. That's the last thing that the scene of the season.
In our preseason podcast where we said who's going to live, who's going to die in season 7, the wall was one of the options, and I do think we both voted that the wall would not survive season 7.
So even though I knew what was coming, it was still fabulous. It's exciting. It is, you know, full game on. And the way they did it with the dragon, at first I thought, okay, is the dragon blowing ice? But I think it's just blue fire, because the way it took that wall down was it just seemed to burn it. That was thrilling. Even though I didn't like the way we got there, it was so delicious to see Littlefinger get his comeuppance.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I knew, again, sometimes you know things, but it's so satisfying to see it. When Sansa does the, so how are you going to answer to these crimes, turn to Baelish.
Oh, so
Lord
good.
Baelish.
So
right?
good, Catfish.
That's fabulous.
So
that's
my
fabulous.
Ranking is the exact same as yours. I have the exact same issues that
so
they built over the past couple of weeks. But because I did have so many highs, I'm so down with my boy Qyburn, with my boy Uncle Euron. There's so many of my boys in the show kicking ass that I love. So I'm going to give this 8 double L's out of 10.
Oh yeah, of course I know what double L's are.
Well, that's good. In this very tough Trump economy, we all know that when you get a Littlefinger layoff, that is when you've really been let go.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough when you lose a job. You were leader of the Vale, you were doing great, and then you just, you know, lose your job. You get let go. You get laid off. Very tough for him, great for us.
I
agree with you, it's not going to retroactively make those scenes in the two previous episodes enjoyable.
I mean, the whole time we're like, just talk to Bran, for God's sakes.
Right.
So we assumed that those scenes that they did before, they weren't fooling anybody. Those were real scenes. But all of a sudden, there was a huge turnabout, presumably because they just talked to Bran. He's been sitting there. All you got to do is walk out to the tree and say, hey, Bran, you know everything. Got any information for us?
You know what? It's cold outside. Once he rolls back in, then I'll talk to Bran. In the meantime, we'll fight as sisters. Big, you know what? Hello. You want me to put on my coat? Give me a break. Here's the fire.
Meanwhile, Jon Snow wears his coat everywhere.
Everywhere. Looks good. He's a good
everywhere.
Coat.
The only time he takes it off is when he's back with Daenerys at home. Now, when he goes down to...
He should have worn it in the bed with his aunt, you know?
It seems like when he goes down to King's Landing, I would think, used to the north weather, you know, he's like, I'm just going to wear what I wore north of the wall. It's comfy. I'm not sweating at all.
Does he even have a change of clothes? Give the man a break, Catfish. So we both went 8. We're both very positive. I think the one crazy thing about season 6, we just finished season 7, but going back to season 6, I always thought that was a 10-episode season. I really only liked 5 episodes in the 10 episodes. The Hold the Door episode 5 was great. But season 6 ended, in my opinion, with 2 just knockout episodes. The Battle of the Bastards, and then Cersei's redesigning of the Sept. Her, you know, flip or flop, the Great Sept of Baelor.
You know what happened when she used the wildfire? It turns out underneath all that, shiplap.
We're going to have to total this and build a new one.
Oh, my God. The shiplap. Save the shiplap.
So season 6 ended on such highs that it was like, whoa, that it made this wait we just went through really tough. I think especially how we got here, this episode couldn't match the greatness of The Winds of Winter, which was the 10th episode of season 6. And so it did end on a great moment. That wall had to come down. We have, I'm guessing, a year and a half before Game of Thrones is back.
Don't say it.
So it's going to be a long debating time. And in this podcast tonight, I'm going to go into some debates, some thoughts. I'm going to give minor, and I'm talking brand level minor stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking, if you're the age of Little Lady Lyanna Mormont, that's how minor it is. Minor stuff and thoughts about, ooh, how could this tie into the books? But I want listeners, you would assume that we might be gone for good. We might go into our own long night until Game of Thrones gets back. But I want you guys to know that in two weeks, we're going to come out with our feedback podcast. That's where you people, I like to call double L's.
Double L's.
Little finger layoffs.
Oh, right.
Oh, wait, loyal listeners. Wait.
Okay.
Oh, man. I didn't realize those were the same. I've got to come up with new nomenclature. So 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to have a feedback podcast. That's going to be the most brilliant podcast we're going to do. Why?
What? Because it's going to be your words.
Right. It's not our stupid words. You're going to provide the content. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast. That's the word double, the single letter P, the word podcast, plural, facebook.com/doublepodcast. Or tweet at us. We want your feedback. We're going to base a whole show to get us ready for the long night. Then,
yeah, so please, don't be terse. We need you to write a lot of stuff. You're generating the content.
Right.
Come on, do some work yourself.
And if you want to put an ad for Casper Mattresses or for Blue Apron in your feedback, sure, go ahead and do it. But then I also want to say,
yeah,
this is something we have really not done too much.
Okay.
2 weeks after that, a.k.a. a month from this podcast coming out, we're going to do a Jafria podcast, serious book talk. Serious double B.
SBT.
Double B, book bitching, but we're going to go hardcore serious on it. Now, a lot of times the Jafria podcast, while we do read the wonderful Jafria preview chapters and Jafria chapters from the books, a lot of times we try to avoid the books because we want this to be a podcast for everybody. But even though our good friends at the History of Westeros and Radio Westeros and our good friends at Bald Move have their spoiler lore and podcast Winterfell, so many of our good friends do kind of book discussions, but I have to be honest, a lot of times they don't hit some of the things that I think need to be hit. So,
well, you are straightening the unstraighteners then. That's
yeah, we're going to go deep. We're going to go deep.
Whoa.
And so for those
as
of
deep
you,
as Jon Snow did tonight,
deeper. We're going to assume. You know, it's tough when the bedroom's moving on the waves. You know, a lot of times you want to create the waves, but when the waves create the waves, it's a bit awkward.
Right. But, you know what else is awkward? When you're with someone,
yeah,
in the biblical sense, and you look at them and you're like, am I doing something wrong? And I don't mean like physically. I mean like, am I doing something morally wrong?
Right. Come on. It's just his aunt. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But
okay.
But to preview the book podcast we're going to do here on the Jafria podcast in 1 month, we all, book readers who know the Valonqar prophecy, who says that the Valonqar actually has to be alive and can't have blue eyes? Think about that. We'll get back to us in a month. If you have feedback or thoughts about how what we've seen in Season 7 can really tie into the books, go ahead and write us on our Facebook page again. We have got so much to do. You also may be thinking, well, the show's over. Why should I keep listening to the Double P podcast?
Yeah, why should I?
Because we're doing great podcasts, not only about your favorite show, Game of Thrones, but we're also doing Twin Peaks. Search Twin Peaks, The Gifted and the Damned. We're covering The Strain with our podcast, Got Your Milk. We cover Ash versus Evil Dead, which
is
very fun show. If you like Catfish and I getting silly, bringing the funny, or bringing the, are these guys high, drunk, whatever, download our Ash versus Evil Dead versus Bubba versus Catfish podcast.
So good.
We covered the great miniseries Jonathan Strange versus Mr. Norrell with our Lost Hope podcast. We do one-offs on just the Double P Podcast Network. You can find all of these in iTunes. Go to our Facebook page. Keep involved because we... It's a long night. We want to be there for you during the long night. And hey, we want you there for us as we go through this. We are about to get to our wonderful prize giveaway. That is for you Double L loyal listeners who've been kind enough to retweet announcements about the Jafria podcast, to share them on Facebook. And only a handful of people have shared them. But your names, that gets you another entry into this contest. We are giving away an autographed copy of A Game of Thrones, the very first book autographed by the man himself, our father and creator, George R.R. Martin. Catfish is digging into the bowl.
I'm digging into it. Wait, I want... Never mind. No, it's going to mess things up. I'm just going to dig into the bowl, and I'm going to pull... I'm pulling from the very center of the bowl here. This is very hard because I picked like five names, so if you don't win, just think I was in your hand.
You were that close to the Powerball. Who is it? Let's see.
Okay, it says Hans Steiniger. Hell yeah.
Let me see this. All right. So this is... Hans Steiniger, in parentheses, hell yeah.
I'm so confused.
I'm confused too. I think this was a Facebook share maybe somehow or something.
But I don't know what hell yeah means because usually in parentheses you put the Twitter handle.
Right,
or...
so I think it's a Facebook entry or it's a, I don't know. Hans, congratulations, you've won. We're bearing the lead. You won, Hans.
Hans,
congratulations.
Let us know. Please contact us anyway. And as we said before, you can hit me up at CJGman67 or you can hit Bubba up at
FITTENTRIM at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Go to our Facebook page. Give us a mailing address, Hans. You've won. Now, we do not request them, but you guys are always so kind to give us iTunes reviews. It helps other lovers of A Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire, and Joffrey find the podcast. So we got two new ones this week. We want to give them a special shout out. Catfish, who'd we get?
Our first review is by Starts With A J.
Ooh, and that's Joffrey.
That's very important. And the title is Great Pair of Bees.
Double Bees.
And it's 5 stars. And it says, it really seems like these guys are double Bees IRL.
In real life.
Yes, but double Bees.
What is double B?
Yeah. Best buds.
Aw.
And I enjoyed listening just for that.
Oh,
how
thanks.
About that? Isn't that nice that we fake that we like each other? Man, that is so good.
Like Cersei, sometimes you got to stoop real low. We got another iTunes review. Thank you so much.
And this is by EagleFord_RE. It says, intelligent conversation, 5 stars. Great and intelligent conversations. That is really nice.
You must have been listening to something else. Thank you so
much. Don't put them down.
When you give us iTunes reviews, that helps us be found on the iTunes store when people are out there looking at the hundreds of wonderful Game of Thrones podcasts. So thank you so much. Catfish, let's not bury the lead.
What's the lead?
People, if they started reading this book in the 90s, if they started watching this show, damn, all those years ago, if they listened to the Maesters earlier in season 7, they said, well, what's the big deal? As long as the wall stands, you know, there have been all these problems as long as the wall stands. People have been waiting for the wall to come down. That is, despite all the craziness.
I'm not sure if they were waiting. You mean the readers have been waiting for the wall to come down.
Right,
like,
right.
Well, let's get
not
these
the
guys over here, right? The Maesters, people in the north, let's get these walls down. Break these walls.
So, some people have been waiting 20 years for this, man. I'm saying 20 years. Hold on. The dragon has what I like to call double B.
Let me guess. Double B?
Yes, I did. You're going to guess double B? The bad dragon has bad breath.
Okay,
that's what
good.
I'm saying, Catfish.
Good setup.
And so this is how it comes down. This is it. There was an incredible effect shot. Seeing the wall come down, seeing all this army of the dead, which to me looks like more than 100,000 people. This is some good dead here.
Oh, my God.
Giants coming in.
And to see that double F.
Double F.
Yeah, frozen fire.
Oh, man. That is so tough. So we're going to start at the very end. One of the things, Catfish, while we were watching this is the longest episode of Game of Thrones ever. And one of the things we thought is, okay, Bran's by the tree. Maybe he'll see what the evil Night King is up to. But I just happened to notice that good old Tormund's, the actor who plays Tormund, his name was in the credits. So I'm like, okay, we need to see him. Tormund somehow miraculously survives these digital effects. It is incredible. And I think we need to...
Well, he probably was staying at a Radisson. But Bran does see it. We are set up for the wall through Bran.
Oh, yeah.
Bran is...
He's by his tree.
Taken over. Yeah, right. So he's taken over some crows. And he is going along the wall, and then we switch to Tormund. Now, I'm not sure what they thought they were going to see. Considering all the travel that Daenerys and Jon do in this episode, it seems to me that the White Walkers, as we said before, were taking their own sweet damn time getting to the wall.
What did they say? I will serve no wine before it's time. You know, these people...
Okay.
I'm not going to attack the wall till I have what I like to call a double D.
Double D.
A Dwight dragon.
Yeah, right.
Which, of course, is a bit of a misnomer because what is Dwight?
Dwight means it's a dragon white.
Yeah, W-I-G-H-T. Dragon Dwight. Good old Dwight.
We're trying to make that name stick.
Right.
I thought it was brilliant last week. It doesn't seem to quite roll off the tongue, but I still think it's brilliant.
I haven't seen Dwight on Twitter. I've seen Fetchmore.
Oh, okay. No, Dwight. Everybody, double L's, loyal listeners, spread the Dwight. D-W-I-G-H-T, Dwight.
So, Tormund and Beric are up here, and it was so funny. While I was watching this scene, they keep looking down. I'm like, dude, you need to look up.
Well, the first thing they did see was down.
Oh, that's
so
true.
So, technically, they were looking in the right spot.
And
now, they did not know that...
No, they didn't know.
The Dwight was there. This is going to be good news. The very first second they saw the White Walkers, I was like, please send a raven now.
Oh,
and where's Gendry?
Yeah.
So we can run to run.
Gendry, run to Winterfell and tell him.
Yeah, Gendry, run to Winterfell. You can do it, bro.
And Tormund, isn't it great in this incredible special effect, monumentous moment here in Game of Thrones that Tormund, a wilding, is the one blowing the horn, the three blasts, to say, oh, shit. And I'm pretty sure Tormund survived. He didn't try to run down the wall. He just ran and luckily got to the part of the wall that didn't collapse in on itself. But everybody else who was manning the wall, who was going down those stairs, ooh, that's a tough way to go.
Yeah. I mean, we did not see Tormund die, so therefore he did not die. I mean, remember what happened with the Hound. We were pretty sure we saw him die, but he did not die. If you don't see someone die on this show, they're not dead. If you see someone die on this show, they may not be dead.
Well, Beric, last week, when he said goodbye to the Hound, he said, we'll meet again, Clegane. And so I'm believing that these guys have to meet up again. I would say, though, that this is going to be real funny. Now that the Army of the Dead is past them, are Beric and Tormund, are they going to be like, okay, we'll attack them from the rear? That's a great tactic. These 100,000 zombies, the giants, who knows what kind of polar bears, other animals they have. I want to see the damn ice spiders that old Dan talked about in season one. We want to see them. This show, only 7 episodes, but this effect, there are movies that come out with effects that aren't this good. This thing looks great. It really, really does. It's the most believable attack of zombies and an ice dragon on an ice wall that I've ever seen.
I know you're a connoisseur of those, so you are well equipped to make a judgment.
Many? Oh, come on. That's more than 100,000 people. Oh, my Jesus. Holy smokes.
It's the giants I'm more worried about. I mean, my good Lord.
Well, oh, yeah.
What do we call them? Geits?
Giant whites are geits, of course. Make it happen, fetching people. So, the Night King, it's always talked about among book readers and show watchers. What does it take to ride a dragon? What does it take to ride a dragon? Well, it may just take being I'm a badass, let's roll dragon. I loved it.
Well, when he brought Dwight back, when he created Dwight, he essentially became his father. Like Daenerys is the mother of two dragons.
Well, Daenerys is the mother of dragons. The Night King is the father of dragons. This is a custody battle we're watching right now. Do we even want to imagine? This is just the worst news you could ever be if you're anybody living south of the wall. The North got taken over by those evil jerks from the Iron Island. The Ironborn took over the North. Then the Boltons took over the North. We have done all this work to get the North back, and now I'm seeing this and I'm just thinking, yeah, we should have let the Boltons have it.
You know what? I want to say what I thought the show has done great this year, and now they've done it twice, where they have really turned things on the head. For example, when we saw Daenerys get together with, and she's got you know, the Dothraki,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she's got her the
boy, you are stuttering
no penis
a bit.
Boys. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yes, the eunuchs. Okay.
Yeah. We thought, oh my God, she is overpowered. And then they turned the tables in a way which was realistic. And then we thought, okay, they're overpowered for the White Walkers. And now they've turned the tables in a way which is also realistic. So I got to give it to them for that, for upending expectations in a realistic way twice this season. My only question is, and this kind of goes to the future, is, you know, this doesn't seem like a battle that can happen in little skirmishes. In other words, the entire army is there. So I'm in, unless they're going to roll over parts of people. It seems like it might just be one huge battle. Two dragons, Dothraki, everybody. But I can't imagine that they would just decide, we're just going to have a lot of talking and only one battle next year.
In the 6 episodes remaining that are all going to be about this length, about 90 minutes long,
right.
I would think you're going to have multiple skirmishes. Where do you think those skirmishes are going to happen? Where's the quote-unquote final battle against the White Walkers going to happen? Is it going to happen in Winterfell? Or are all our heroes going to have to fall back even further? There's a part of me, and this is only based on book knowledge, that thinks it's kind of poetic if it happens at the Trident, a.k.a. the place before the series even began, where Robert killed Rhaegar, who we got a peek of in this episode, and kind of the whole trouble really started is that at the Trident. So I could see it happening there. I could also see it, though, happening at Winterfell. It's the name, Winterfell. Who in the world could defeat and foil the Night King in Winter? but a place called Winterfell.
Gosh, I've got to think, and we finally saw, even though I was joking about Jon Snow wearing his coat down at King's Landing, it wasn't until the end of the episode we actually saw snow falling in King's Landing. I've got to think that the final battle has to be around King's Landing. Now, they didn't give me what I was thinking might happen, which is we go into the final season sort of with the status quo. There's still two wars to be fought.
Yeah, which I admit, that's how I predicted it. And
that you were right.
Before the season began, I predicted both Jaime and Cersei would survive the season. I got scared a bit in this episode for old Uncle Jaime, where he's like, later, babe. Way to be cruel to your baby mama, Uncle Jaime. But we'll get to that. Catfish, why don't we go to Winterfell and just cover it first? Because the first 45 minutes of the episode really took place down in King's Landing and the various machinations that were happening there. So let's get Winterfell out of the way. Starts off with another scene to convince us, to try to fool us that Sansa is considering getting rid of her sister Arya, who she's missed for years, for seasons upon seasons.
Right, and now, again, because we've been given incomplete information, we don't know at this point whether she's playing Littlefinger or not. If you think about it logically, there's no real reason for her to play him here. Once she has all the information,
heck yeah,
there's nothing. There's no need to tease this out. So presumably, between this scene and the next scene, there's a whole scene. There's a scene where a lot of important information gets told, and we don't get to see that scene because they want to give us. Again, I love the scene, but they give us the cheap trick.
Was that our first again?
No, that was the second one. I started. I started this section with the again. Now that's three.
Oh boy. Everybody, the again count is on. Oh, and you know what? Oh, now I feel terrible. We gave away a prize. One of our earlier prize winners who lives overseas was kind enough to say, ooh, I love this. You guys getting this prize, but you don't have to mail it. Give it away to somebody else. So next week, on 2 weeks on our feedback podcast, we're going to give away yet another one of these Ramin Djawadi posters and Steins of Game of Thrones live concert experience. So keep retweeting. Hey, there's still one more chance to win one of these prizes.
Someone said, I don't want your damn prize.
It was, I don't want to say who Sean Gregan was.
Hey, ref.
All right. Now, wait, hold on. So let's focus on this, though. Maybe Sansa is doing this because she's still trying to learn about Littlefinger. You know, if Bran told her anything, this scene, you're right, there's no way that she's just not killing him. But let's go through it. So Littlefinger is, once again, he's trying to play the nice guy, like he's actually a good guy.
Yeah, he starts off.
Well, maybe John, you know, it's bad weather. Maybe John, you know, wanted to send more earlier, but he couldn't. And then Sansa is either acting or she's like, this is the way he's always been. You know, he never asks for my opinion. He never tells me anything. So these are things she's really felt. If she's lying, she's doing real well. You know what I mean? If you want to tell a convincing lie, have a lot of truth in it.
I mean, once you kind of play that trick on people, it's hard to give them credit for earlier scenes that they're actually tricking us because they're just, again, trying to further trick
again.
Us. Oh, sorry.
So Littlefinger, he says, hey, wait a minute. Jon Snow, he's young. He's single. Daenerys is supposed to be young, single, and beautiful. He's just doing this because he wants to get in her pants. So once again, Littlefinger, he's not blatantly saying, oh, John has ulterior motives, but he's introducing that possibility. Littlefinger, Seven bless his soul, he's good at what he does. This is smart, subtle manipulation. And so I think you got to give him credit on this. Sansa, and Littlefinger's right. She's like, oh, you think he wants to marry her? An alliance makes sense that'll be difficult to defeat. Then Littlefinger twist it with his thing, saying, okay.
It's a great scene, and I won't say the A word, but I said I enjoyed these scenes, even though it was, I feel like it was kind of a cheap fake out. It was a great scene, the way he leads her down this path. Oh, let's do a little thought process.
So, Catfish, why don't we go ahead and do something I like to call double P.
Double P.
Well, double P is what I like to call Peter playing.
Okay.
So we're going to play as if we're Peter Baelish. And so,
are we both going to play as if we're
Peter Baelish?
Here's
a little game.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. All right.
I want you to assume the worst. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready to assume the worst.
What reason could the show writers possibly have for saying what they say and doing what they do? Then ask yourself, how well does that worst reason explain what they say and what they do?
I think they wanted to do some wanted to hit some certain guideposts, and they said to themselves, well, I guess this is the best we can do.
Well, I think they want to totally punk the audience on Littlefinger's downfall, and then rather it being like little clues you could have followed in previous episodes, instead it's a complete whoops rug pulled out from you. Like in Ned Stark's death back in season one.
Yes.
Who could have seen? They make you think he's going to go to the wall, but then he gets his head chopped off. Yes. Here, they want you to think that Arya's going to be banished. But instead, Littlefinger gets an extra mouth.
Now, why do you think that in season one, even though Ned thought one thing, we all knew that he was in big trouble? Why do you think this time, in this season, the things that are happening are pretty unjustified by the previous scenes we've seen?
Because Arya and Sansa were doing scenes which no one could see. Hey, let's pretend to hate each other in private, and maybe somebody walking by the door outside will hear us fighting. Maybe that's it. It's the only possible thing that could explain what we're doing.
Now, why do you think we never saw Arya kill Peter Baelish and then be Arya and Baelish in the same scene?
Listen, there's no way I can get away with his height once I'm wearing his face.
Wow. Well, that was beautiful.
No, I don't think you were. Play the game one time.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
All right. So we have this, I think, beautiful cinematography scene that shows Sansa up on these walkways of Winterfell, which we've seen before. It was up on this walkway where she and Jon had their reconciliation in the Winds of Winter, season 6, episode 10, about her not telling him that the Army of the Vale was coming. We see her alone up there. She's looking out into the snow. In hindsight, we can assume, okay, she's decided it's time to kill this mofo. But the scene plays based on everything they've shown the audience as if, okay, I have to take care of my sister. And she says, call my sister. We got to settle this.
Right. It's okay if Baelish doesn't show up. Oh, wait a second. I think we need Baelish. Call Baelish too.
And the fact that Bran is sitting there next to Sansa kind of gives up the ghost. Bran is not going to let some of these things happen. Arya comes in. Interesting that Arya got the dagger back, even though she handed it to Sansa last week. That could be another visual clue that, okay, these two are on the same side.
Now, here's another thing that they do just for the viewers. So, for example, if it weren't for us being misdirected, I can't see any possible way they would do it this way. There's no reason to kind of psychologically torture Baelish on his way out the door.
You don't think that Bran, who has seen everything, saw how Littlefinger kind of twisted the knife and betrayed Ned Stark back in season one? This is exactly what Littlefinger did to Ned Stark. This is poetic justice. They brought Ned Stark into the throne room thinking, okay, all these guys are on your side. It's going to go down. Similarly,
it is also poetic and shows this is kind of the same thing that she did with Bolton, in that kind of hoisted on his own petard. In other words, used exactly the way he murders people and manipulates people in the same way to kill him. So it is poetic
justice. And it's catching because Cersei did that with the Sand Snakes, with Alarya Sand and her daughter Tyene Sand. Hey, you poisoned my daughter, now I'll poison you. Your Uncle Euron said, oh, you're going to hit me with a whip, Sand Snake? I'll choke you with a whip. Hey, you're going to fight me with a spear, Sand Snake? Obara, I'll stab you with a spear.
Now, I like what Baelish does. That was unexpected. He's like, instead of saying, no, I didn't, he's like, his answers are always, yes, but with a reason. So he doesn't deny anything, which I think is cool.
Don't you think he's telling the truth, though? Hey, when I threw your aunt out the moon door, I did do it to protect you.
Yes, but still not the best look.
Oh, come on.
And then they start telling him things that he did that he has a tougher and tougher explanations for. I mean, sure, Lysa was nuts.
I love Arya, a.k.a. actress Maisie Williams. Her just smug smile is so delicious. She's enjoying this. She's enjoying it so much. Everybody is enjoying it in the way. So Arya, who likes killing people, she's just smiling. Sansa, who's finally releasing her fury at Littlefinger, loves it.
You know who doesn't love it?
Who?
Bran, because he's looking at something else somewhere else. He's not even there until he speaks for just a moment, and then he flies back away again.
Right. It's a bit like if you talk to somebody and they're texting, you know, the one time they look up.
Yeah. They got something to contribute. It's like, finally.
And Bran, because he's so cold about everything, he's just stone cold in this, oh, yeah, you did this too.
Yeah. He's the only one who's got no passion about this whatsoever. But when this is done, he's going to have his macaroni and cheese.
Oh, man. Just brutal. Does this scene imply that it was Baelish behind Bran Stark's attack on Bran Stark in the second episode of the series?
It more than applies it. I think it comes right out and says it, that that it was his knife. So he gave the knife to the murderer.
When you have been outed for doing something evil, like maybe in front of a girl you like, one of the first things you want to say is, can we talk alone?
Yeah. Well,
why is your family here? Honey, come on.
Look, get away. Let's get away from all these lying liars who are lying to your face. Let me explain.
Do you think, now this is something that I kind of don't think, but Sansa did go through this ruse, if it was a ruse, to be like, okay, Littlefinger, I'm going to give you enough rope to strangle to hang yourself. When she's like, why did you try to turn me against my sister? Had Littlefinger not tried to turn Arya against Sansa, is that a sign that he could have survived this somehow, that his past transgressions would have been okay? Or do you think it goes back to the scene where the three Stark siblings were out by the tree and Bran is explaining he has some visions? And I think the scene even ends with, well, why would Littlefinger give you a knife, and they have a talk about this? Who else is on your list? You know.
As soon as Bran gets around to telling them that he's the one that betrayed their father, I think that's game over.
Oh,
I mean, you don't need to go through the rest.
But just for fun, come on.
Okay, well, right. It's like steps. They save that one for the last.
Right. Oh, and how about this? Let's ask the final question. Did Littlefinger love Sansa? Yes or no?
True, he did, in a way that is very disturbing.
Oh, hold on. What's more disturbing? Mm-hmm. Littlefinger's love for Sansa, or what Jon and Daenerys are doing on that boat?
Jon and Daenerys don't know what they're doing. Littlefinger knows, well, I didn't have a chance with the mom, but the daughter's still available, so I'm going to do all these machinations to get her after I pretty much give her away to Bolton. I know he's going to treat her nice.
Well, you know what? Come on. Sometimes Tell love me. Takes odd turns.
Yeah, and that's why there are restraining orders.
Now, come on. I think you got to give it up to Sansa and Arya in that, you know, they swiped left. Across his throat.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I think Arya actually swiped right across
what?
His throat.
Oh, no. Why would she swipe right? That doesn't make any sense. So the Stark siblings, Sansa and Arya, have a beautiful scene up on the battlements.
Where they finally do what we said we thought they would do originally, which is empathize with each other's troubles.
Right. You know what? I never would have made it through like you did.
Oh, no, that's not true. You're the strongest, most terrifying, I'm super scared of you person I've ever met.
Hey, let's go play with my faces.
Okay.
Girl talk.
Can I wear Baelish's?
Hey, now. Our female listeners attack us for being so silly. Do you think they chopped off Baelish's face? The only power Baelish really had was with the Knights of the Vale. We saw Jon Royce, one of the people there, who Littlefinger went to him and said, escort me back to the Vale. Jon Royce is like, F no.
Ignoring how much fun it would be to wear Baelish's face.
For parties. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
All right. So.
I feel like you should wear it every time you go up a ladder.
Oh, man. That's I'm glad you mentioned that, Catfish. During the whole scene, I kept saying, "Where's a ladder? Where's a anybody got a ladder here? Please, please, the ladder for my trial, please." Who shows up? Unwelcome house guest: Sam, baby Sam, and Gilly. Sam immediately goes to see his buddy, Bran Stark.
Now, some people might have more problems with this scene than the problems I had with the two other scenes, because the info dump that happens here that we thought Sam wasn't even paying attention to before.
Not only that, there are a million little things that I think the mind would question. Well, Sam went from Old Town to Winterfell. That means he kind of went up the Rose Road, I believe it is called. And so theoretically, he hasn't heard about what happened to his dad. And so this was the dialogue I imagined and tweeted out earlier. "It's me, Jon Snow, Sam, and I gotta tell you, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. I just met the greatest girl." "Sam, what's the matter? You're a little sad." "Oh, I just found out the Dragon Queen roasted my dad and my brother. I'm so sad." "So, but you're dating a girl. What's the girl you like's name, Jon Snow?"
"Not only that, but I found out that she's actually your aunt. The woman who roasted my dad is your aunt. Now, who is it that you're dating?"
"Did I say dating? More like, you know, we're just kind of friends with benefits on the boat. Friends with boat of fits. And so, listen, sorry, Sam. What's new? How are you and Gilly doing?"
Yeah, they are a big proponent, John and Daenerys, of boating and chill.
So if I started dating a girl who had burned your father and brother, would you be upset, Catfish? Or would you understand, hey, you know, it just kind of came up?
It depends if I thought, wow, so that means I'm no longer in trouble for stealing his sword. Now, Bran does say here that you're a good person. "Samwell Tarly, I know who you are. You're a good person." And I wanted Sam to say, "Yes, except I seem to have a kleptomaniac problem."
Right. If you're Arya, you better hold on to that knife, or just, it's going to disappear when Sam leaves from the latest thing he's going to steal. Interesting that Bran has told his sisters, who he loves so much, but theoretically he hasn't told them about Jon, about Jon not being their brother but being their cousin. Because Bran just lets it out to Sam. Sam, a guy he's met one time.
That is a very interesting question. The reason why he tells Sam is because Sam has more information to add to it.
Oh. Well, that's...
Now, Bran doesn't know that, but that's why he tells Sam. The writers are like, who should we have Bran tell?
Bran can see everything. When he came to the wall in the very first episode of Season 7, Episode 1, he said, "Ed... You know, Ed, at the Night's Watch, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this." In all of Bran's indexing, he never found out about this wedding, which I thought was a bit interesting.
It is, presumably, we haven't been given a lot of information about this, and so I appreciated this because this is the information. Apparently, if he wants to find something, he can, but he has to ask a very strict question. It's like when you look at the eight ball.
Right.
That's an old... It's a reference,
magic eight ball.
It's an effort reference for our younger listeners because they probably have never even seen it. But he shakes the eight ball. You have to ask a very specific question. And so when he says to whoever he talks to, himself, the previous Theide Ravens.
Right. The trees. Yeah.
Yeah. He says... get me on the microfiche.
Right.
Any possible wedding between a Targaryen and a Stark.
Right. And so, lovely scene. This is a scene which so many quote-unquote show watchers, maybe people who don't listen to podcasts, apparently might have missed. Okay, they figured out last season that Jon Snow was the daughter of Lyanna Stark. But okay, once again... Who was the father? I think some people might have still had some questions about, was it love? Was it kidnap and rape like we've been told all this time? Sam tells the story.
It was just a wartime romance that got serious.
Well, it was a romance that started a wartime. Love Bran's line about how Robert's rebellion, the whole thing which happened in the show's timeline 17 years before the first friggin' gosh darn episode, is all based on a lie. This actor they got to play Rhaegar really does look like...
Looks a lot.
Like Viserys.
Yeah.
For a second
I thought it was, then I thought, there's no way they'd do that. But they don't show a lot of his face, so it really does look like him.
He really does look like him. Apparently, it's an Irish actor with the first name Wilf. I don't even want to try to pronounce his last name.
But, especially after the way you pronounce his first name.
Well, it's W-I-L-F. How would you pronounce it?
Woof. He's Irish. Woof. Hey, come on. It's Ralph Fiennes.
Excellent. They give the wedding ceremony. They do the.
It's beautiful.
They do this ceremony of the old gods, a.k.a. her gods, Lyanna Stark's gods, instead of Rhaegar, who his family had adopted the new gods, a.k.a. the Faith of the Seven. This is intercut with Jon Snow knocking on her cabin door.
Knock,
on
knock,
a cruise.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
You go on a singles cruise, this is...
Yeah. We were told specifically, if we started a song on this podcast, we should finish it by a good friend at Musical Concept. So I'm not going to sing it.
Right.
But you yourselves can sing. But knocking on heaven's door.
Bran sees this. This is, how are you supposed to feel? Jon's real name, Aegon Targaryen, even though technically he had, Rhaegar had already had a son named Aegon Targaryen.
Now, this is super tricky because we talked about this on a previous episode.
Right.
However, there is a difference between the way the world handles incest, and even not even the whole this whole world, but a part of this world is right. Okay with incest. But in the United States, we're not really cool with it, and around the world, they're not really cool with it. So this is a little bold. I guess they figured they had to go there. That's the storyline.
Yeah, you would assume this is from a story beat from our boy George R. R. Martin, and that the showrunners are following it to a T. I want to know what you listeners think. We've had listeners write me tweets to say, this creeps them out. They don't want to see this incest. It creeps them out because they know the truth.
Well, they've seen it now.
Yeah, it's
too late for that.
Right? No, they've definitely seen it. You know, it's
right. I know people who wanted to quit the show because some of the direwolves got killed. So direwolves killing bad, incest good.
Mm. Well, what do you think, listeners? Write us. Let us know. Go to our Facebook page. They're very attractive actors because they're obviously not related in real life. Are you cool with it? Or is it that, oh, this is creepy, I don't want to think about it?
Also,
tell us what you think.
It sort of feels clear to me, based on what the showrunners do, that most of the information we get is to cause more drama down the line.
Yeah.
So the whole point of this is, don't think of this as, oh my God, we have incest. The point of this is, Daenerys thinks that she's the rightful heir, and it turns out that it's actually Jon who's the rightful heir. So presumably, it's going to be a who-wears-the-pants type situation around the household.
Sorry to say this, Catfish, though, but I think it's even more than that. It's not just who wears the pants. It's not just about a power play for the crown. I think if you're in love with somebody and then find out you're related to them, there's going to be drama, not only politically, there's going to be emotional drama. Theoretically. I mean, I believe the show would have both the characters think, oh, no, this isn't right.
That does remind me about that creepy story, and you can cut this out if you want. But these two people who were married found out that they
you
were
mean
twins.
In Mississippi, yeah.
Yeah, they found out that they liked the same things. They were born on the same exact day, but they were separated at birth, and I believe they were both adopted, so... I believe they were trying to have a child, and so they went to have sort of DNA tests, and they found out, oh, holy gods, we are brother and sister. That has got to be a shock.
Well, how do you feel about it, Catfish? You creeped out, or because you know these actors aren't really related, this is just a fantasy show with dragons, are you okay with it?
I'm okay with it. Yes, because we know that they're not really related. I'm okay with it. We have seen both of these people have been main characters. It sort of has been, I feel like it's been set up to get the two of them together despite this. So I don't have a problem with it. But now I see that this is a bridge too far. I've been telling you for years I thought they were going to end up together. And now this is a bridge too far. They're not going to – I never thought it through clear enough. And they're not going to end up on the throne together.
All right, hold on. I'm going to try some of my great acting. When you say you haven't thought something through well enough, I'm going to try to act shocked on. What? What? No way. Really? All right, so how about this? Do you believe the chemistry? Did the show do a convincing job of showing you these two fell in love? I know some people have had questions about that. I myself, until this episode, I've been like, you know, Jon Snow had his one moment in the cave, but while Daenerys is always kind of looking at him longingly, he's got his infamous one Jon Snow expression in it. I think in this episode, he did turn on a little bit of flirting, a little bit of charm enough to where I understand it's a fantasy show. I understand that they're not going to end up together. I never thought they would. So, hey, have some fun on the boat.
His move is the puppy dog. Puppy.
Boy, you are really effing up here.
His move is to give the puppy dog look to a girl. It's not like Euron, where he's all swashbuckling and macho. He gives this look like, don't you want to take me home and adopt me? But he did give that look more tonight. Yeah, I saw that from her. They didn't just have to tell us. We saw it. In fact, it was over the top. And so I believe it now, especially since they were naked together.
That's one way to build chemistry. All right, let's cover the rest of the episode. It's going to get a bit messy because normally we could cover, oh, this storyline, this storyline, this storyline. Everybody's together. Hate to be so picky, but the very first shot of the episode is all the Unsullied gathering, lining up in formation outside King's Landing. Did we know that the Unsullied were going to march away from Casterly Rock? Was there a scene of them saying, okay, we can't stay here, let's march to...
I figured that once they decided, instead of a fight, we're going to have this meet, that it would be best for them to get out and also to be the show of force. So
yeah, I would have, call me crazy, I would have liked to seen saying, hey, well, we got to, how about send a raven to Casterly Rock? They need to come home. They meet up with the Dothraki. Love the very first really scene of the episode. It's not so much the Unsullied forming and the Dothraki forming, so much as Bronn and Jaime saying, okay, we're in deep trouble. Right? This is not good. And Bronn, for somebody who's supposed to be a sellsword, he has picked a side. I can't see him easily saying, okay, let's you and I be on the side of the Dragon Queen. He's too far gone.
Tyrion sort of sells him on a little bit. And it's funny there because we see the scene between Tyrion and Bronn that we assumed would have happened in the crypt at King's Landing before Jaime showed up. So it's weird that they didn't talk then, but at least we're seeing a little something between them now.
Yeah, and Bronn just saying, hey, saying, boy, if I didn't have a cock, I'd never fight a war. Tell us something we didn't know, Bronn. You know, give us some new information here. Jon Snow, Team Daenerys is coming in on just a few boats. If Cersei couldn't be trusted, she didn't really have a great scheme here. We thought she might have some evil scheme to kill everybody. There's so few boats, you easily could have killed all these people. Now, admittedly, Daenerys wasn't on the boats. Maybe that's why she doesn't go into effect to wipe out my enemies.
Well, but the other thing is, there are these people right outside their walls, the Dothraki.
Yeah, but who knows for sure if they would fight if all their leaders were dead. I'm throwing out a hypothetical.
Okay.
Everybody, you're hearing a lot of dinging. Catfish kid doesn't know how to mute his messaging system. It's fine. Cersei knows that Daenerys isn't with the group because Qyburn and his version of spies, you know, Qyburn's spies have done so much more than our boy Varys. They have done nothing. And so Qyburn, I love him. Cersei hears this. It is time to gather everybody together. And I have to be honest, I was pumping my fist. I was so excited. Seeing all these people together, I'm like, hell yeah. Seeing the dragon pit, I'm pumping my fist. I'm like, that's beautiful. I love it.
And I thought they did a great job. It was clear to me, for the most part, 99% clear, that this wasn't going to end in a mass bloodshed and some people getting slaughtered. And yet, they sold me on the tension.
Oh, yeah.
So when you can do that, you are doing a great job.
Heck yes. And just these characters we love. The interactions are brief.
Are you talking about Missandei?
Oh, man. Yes. One character, singular. I love Missandei. But the interactions are brief, but they build everything. We did need to see if the Hound and Brienne are going to be in a scene together again. they need that interaction. If Pod and Tyrion are going to be in a scene together again, they need to have those moments. I liked it a lot. I think these moments, thank God they didn't go on as long. I was tough on last week's episode about, you know, it felt like there was 25 minutes of, hey, let me talk to you up north of the wall. Then let's these two talk. And then these two talk.
You know what? This was more concise. I would have bet you that the Hound, they thought, let's see if a little comedy works here. And the Hound says something about Tormund to Brienne. And then when they cut it together, they thought, no, we're kind of killing the tension with this joke.
Oh, I think that's a good call. I think that's a real good call. The Hound and Brienne bond over Arya still being alive. They love it. They both were trying to protect her. That's totally true. Bronn, they have some humor. Bronn throws in, hey, you know, Pod's magic tripod is, you know, we'll talk about it later. And so it's good seeing all these characters together. So good. So wonderful. Seeing the Dragon Pit. Wonderful. Seeing Cersei come up. I thought there was a chance. I don't know why I was so stupid. I thought there was a chance. Yeah, maybe Daenerys won't come. She just lost a kid. Maybe it is. Why would she go? She could send these emissaries. Just like I said, why did Jon Snow have to go to Daenerys?
And there are so many people here who have issues with people on the other side. I believe it gets mentioned later on when it's the question of, is Daenerys going to go with Jon Snow or meet up with him? If really to start a war here, all it would take was one person on one side deciding, I can't take this. I don't care what's happening. I'm going to go after this other person. So that's what helped build the tension. And then we had we didn't have the Clegane Bowl,
which so many people are so excited about. We got hints that it's still going to happen. The Hound says, you know who's coming for you. You know who's coming for you. So
he also gives him a little shot. God, you think I look bad? You're horrible now.
So we have that fight about to happen. We have Jaime checking out Brienne again. Obviously, we need them to talk. We have Uncle Euron, my boy, looking up Theon, and I wanted him to laugh once he saw Theon. I wanted him to cackle and say, you big wimp. But instead, we get the reveal. The reveal of Daenerys swooping in on a dragon. So it's all just foreplay. No, we're not going to fight Clegane brothers. No. You're not going to.
Euron, step back.
Right. Euron, enough of this. Well, we got more serious things to handle than you. But I still like Uncle Euron talking smack. That's him. You got all these characters have to be true
to
themselves.
If you could change your name to Euron, you would. You love him so much.
He's great, man. He talks trash. And also, he gets in some funny lines before he leaves. I specifically love, wait, can these things swim across water? Okay, later, losers. Hey, Daenerys, you've got an island there, Dragonstone 2. Wait till the end. We'll be the last two people alive. See ya, babe.
Now, the one thing that Daenerys didn't say, Cersei gives her a hard time. We've been waiting here for a long time, which is not true. But
no, that's a great point.
But Daenerys should say, who's got the dragon?
Yeah.
The person with the dragon shows up last.
You want to give some credit to Cersei? Cersei saw that dragon. She didn't freak out too much. She was like, huh. You know, she was pretty stone-faced in front of the dragon. When she saw the white, the zombie, she freaked out a bit. But in front of the dragon, she kind of held her own.
She
good work,
turned,
Cersei.
She should have turned to Qyburn and give him a look like, your idea was crap, Qyburn.
Right. Qyburn, you just made me one the mountain. Look at how all they've got. Did you ever think, once again to go a bit negative here, did you ever think that this plan would work, that Cersei would go along with it? Because all these weeks, when the plan came up just 2 weeks ago, I thought it was a dumb plan because the Cersei I knew, and theoretically Tyrion should know his sister better than me, a viewer knows her, she'd never go for it. And so did you ever get fooled in all the machinations to make you think that she would go for it?
I didn't. Because we're talking about that question, I'm going to jump a little bit ahead. I didn't believe it. I don't know why she stopped herself from killing Tyrion. First of all, I don't know why she didn't lie in the first place. Yes, I'll join you.
Yeah.
Then I don't know why she came back and said somehow there was a conversation that we didn't get to see, the end of the conversation between here and her and Tyrion, where supposedly, you know, he convinced her, okay, for the sake of your child or whatever. And then she comes back and she does lie. That was stupid. You could have predicted it all along.
Well, how about this? Maybe if Cersei says, okay, you've shown me this monster, I'll go along with it, maybe Tyrion wouldn't have trusted her. Maybe she needed to do this double bluff blind, you know, double bluff, to get Tyrion to really trust her that she would go along with it.
Well, except she says, I'll agree to it if Jon Snow agrees never to fight me.
Okay.
She doesn't know that he's already sworn himself to Daenerys, unless she does, and that's another thing that the audience doesn't know, that Qyburn got information.
No. You're right.
So it all seems like a fake out for us. I said it before.
Yeah.
I loved the scene between her and Tyrion.
I did too. I really liked it.
They got out of it. They couldn't figure out a way to sell us on her changing her mind through her conversation with Tyrion. So we just cut that scene, and then Tyrion comes back, and she comes back.
Okay. Let's get back to before the double blind really comes up. Did you like the reveal of this zombie, this thing? I thought this was a great moment. It getting so close to Cersei, I loved. I thought it was a wonderful moment.
Well, even before that, the great moment of, you know, the hound opens up the box and it doesn't come out at first. And they've got a look on their faces like,
did it
this
die?
Is a joke, right? No, the rest of them, that's what I was thinking. Wouldn't it be unfortunate if they brought it all this way and it just died because of the heat, because it's still not winter.
Right.
I
need some snow.
It's still not winter, right? So they think, oh my God, of course this thing isn't real. But then by the time winter comes to King's Landing, then they can live there. So that was funny, but that's not what happened. It came out, and it was a great reveal.
Great scare. Do you know another thing I loved about it? Qyburn loved it. Of course Qyburn loved it. Qyburn had to love it. Oh, that was so good.
I called it last week.
You did. We knew it. You knew he'd see this thing and go, man, I need a couple of these, baby.
This is great. And even if you didn't want, let's say you thought this was a misdirection all along, like these people are coming north, mm-hmm. they're going to show us something. Qyburn would be the one to say, I've done it, so you could have manufactured this and it isn't real. So Qyburn could have actually been skeptical, and Cersei could have been too, because she could look right over her shoulder and say, yeah, undead, we can make those. So obviously there's not a problem. So that could have been an issue, but that was glossed over. But nonetheless, Qyburn's excitement was
wonderful. I have to be honest. I don't know why I thought this. When Qyburn picks up the hand and the hand is moving, I thought it might try to choke him.
that would be something we'd see on Ash versus Evil Dead.
I know. Ash versus Evil Dead versus Bubba versus Catfish podcast. Everybody check it out. So Jon Snow, he's doing his PowerPoint presentation. Okay, so we can burn them. Or, next slide, we can stag them with dragon glass. And I love that Jaime gets it. Jaime, his character goes back and forth. Or actually, I guess his character just has one Achilles heel. It's more like Achilles' sexual urge for his sister. But the fact that he's getting it, that he's like, oh crap, okay, these things are here. That's the way Jaime would react. Qyburn would see this thing and love it.
I hate to go back to a previous discussion, but now you've flashed me on this. We talked about how upset people will be with incest. People have been watching incest the whole time, and the only reason they hate it,
oh, Jaime and Cersei,
is because Cersei is so horrible, and people have now loved Jaime, even though he still loves his sister. So it would be funny if people would still have a problem with it when they don't blame Jaime for it. And they've come to admire Jaime because of the growth he's had on the show. Mm. So I was going to say earlier, I wish the show had sort of set us up for it. But again, I didn't think things through.
Right.
They've been showing it to us for 7 years.
The best kind, brother and sister. Creepy siblings. Yucky.
Well, it only causes good things. You think Bran becomes the three-eyed raven if he isn't pushed out that window? No, he goes into archery, or he becomes a soldier. I put him down a totally different, cool career path.
Or he gets Rickon'd.
How many three-eyed ravens are there?
Too many.
Presently. Oh, at present.
One.
Well, okay, so they helped him. Incest is good, people.
Oh,
that's
brother.
That's
Catfish,
my message here.
At CJ, there goes a bunch of subscriptions. At CJGman67, everybody.
They've been watching it for 7 years. That's all I'm saying.
No, good point. Tyrion... Tyrion, when he goes off and he's like, I will. All right. How about before we get to that? How about Jon Snow's thing where he's like, he can't tell a lie. He can't read the room. Read the room, Jon. All you have to do is say, sure, everything's good. Everything's golden. But
it reminds me, I can't.
I've bent the knee to Daenerys.
It reminds me of something I've been saying for a long time, but it's finally really apt, and that's what I always say when I say triple M.
Triple M.
Yeah, mopey, moperson, malfeasance.
Read the room. You know, we're not there, and we could read it as Jon Snow. Just say yes, for God's sakes.
I think they think this sounds so ridiculous that they use this. He makes the same argument again to Theon later, like we're going to believe this. Just lie one dang time in your life. You made a lot of mistakes, just like you said to Theon. A little white lie about something is not bad.
In Davos, Davos didn't have much to do in this episode, but he makes a face when Jon ponies up. You know, I wish I could, but I can't, that I love.
And Daenerys makes a great point. Hey, thanks a lot. My dragon died, and she doesn't even know. It's even worse than that.
Right.
My dragon died for nothing.
Well, Tyrion's stupid plan, but theoretically Tyrion's stupid plan could have gotten this armistice, this truce, if Jon Snow tells a lie. But Cersei got him where it counts. She keeps saying, Ned Stark's son, Ned Stark's son. How, when you're reminded of your honorable father, are you then going to pull a whopper?
Because you've lived life and you realize sometimes you have to say something to someone who is your sworn enemy that isn't true so that you don't die like an idiot with your head up on a pike. Speaking of Jon Snow's presumed father.
Well, Daenerys seems to forgive him from this later, obviously, in the queen suite on the cruise.
She does what she's right to be angry with him, and then she says to him here, well, I didn't like it, but it was honorable. So what she said to Tyrion last episode, or was it the episode before, where she doesn't like heroes, obviously that's a little bit of, methinks she doth protest too much. She loves those damn heroes.
She does love heroes. Let's get to this. Let's get to it. We've already talked about it a bit. You like the scene. I like the scene. I like the scene beforehand where Tyrion and Jaime are like, well, I guess we should be saying goodbye now that you're going in to talk to Cersei. See ya, brother. Wouldn't want to be a brother. How about this? Do you like moments of it? Do you like Tyrion after saying, kill me, kill me, kill me, and she does it and he goes and gets the wine, being like, oh, man.
I don't know why she doesn't kill him. Can you tell me why?
Well, because...
Think of it like Littlefinger does. Why? Why would she not
kill
him?
Well, her worst instinct was right. The Golden Company is coming. They're not here yet. That's another thing I'll go in deep into on the Joffrey Podcast book podcast in a couple of weeks. But she knows the Golden Company's not here yet. She does need this armistice until they show up. She does want her enemies going and fighting in the north and away from her. So I think she's maybe getting too cutesy with it, but for her motivation, her goals ended up working out. You know, you can hate it as much as you want. You can hate the setup that the writers gave to this. But in the end, Cersei's goal did work out. All my enemies leaving me alone. They're going north to fight something that may kill them. The army that I desperately need to hold on to power isn't here yet. I need to buy some time. So Cersei got what she wanted out of this, and so...
I can only hope that Jaime does something to really save them up north, because as I said, the only thing that comes out of this that it changes from the way the situation was before is that Jaime is no longer with Cersei. Now, he didn't seem to be tempering her worst personality traits, so she's not going to change what she was doing. So we can only hope that Jaime is going to be a real assistance up north, since he's the only tangible result of this whole crazy plan.
All right.
Besides the Ice Dragon. Sorry about that.
Daenerys talking about a little history about how this dragon pit, for everybody who didn't know, because they really haven't talked about the dragon pit too much. It actually got mentioned way back in the first episode of this season, probably because they knew they were going to do a scene here. When Arya was with the Lannister guards, when the Lannister guards said, yeah, I went to King's Landing. Dragon pit's a dump. Great Sept of Baelor gone. Don't visit King's Landing. Terrible tourist destination.
So, question for you. They do mention here that by the time they got to sort of the end of the Targaryen Empire, that the dragons had been so restrained that they were the size of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell us why, with all your knowledge outside of the books and even inside of the books, what happened to the dragons? Why did the dragons die out and then get restrained this way?
Well, the dragons got restrained this way because, as she said, the dragons don't know property. They don't know, okay, I can eat these sheep, but I shouldn't eat those sheep. So that's why, theoretically, this dragon pit was built. Hey, in Dragonstone, they lived in a cave near Dragonstone, so they didn't have to have their doghouse. They built this dragon pit. Long story short, we haven't found out yet why. We believe in the books we're going to find out why the dragons died off and died. But everyone just assumes that, hey, you keep a caged animal penned up, locked up for most of its time. It's not going to grow much and going to be a runt. And then, you know, runts have runts and they get smaller and smaller and smaller.
It's like if you have a plant in a pot, it can't grow any bigger if you don't move it to a bigger pot.
Yeah.
The dragons are like plants.
Oh, yeah. And one has just turned into kudzu because you can't kill it. It's already dead.
All right.
What do you think? Okay, so the heroes go back to Dragonstone and kind of have a conversation that I have to be honest, I kind of thought, well, don't we know this already? Let's just go to Dragonstone. How are we going to get Daenerys to the north? Seems to be the main point of this conversation when they're all around the painted table. Or was there something else that you felt really important got discussed here? Because they're saying, you know, all right, the Dothraki, they can just ride. They're already on the mainland. They can ride up the Unsullied.
You are bypassing the headline of the frustrated exclamation of breath that you made when we saw they were already back on Dragonstone.
Well, you know, you got to get out of here.
I know, but you were like, oh, and I know exactly what you were saying. They're already back on Dragonstone.
Well, listen. Sir Jorah says, you know, hey, you can't ride your dragons because the Northmen still may have some ugly feelings about this. But if they hear their king, you know, if they just send a raven to all the important places in the North and say, hey, we're all on the same side, don't shoot the Dragon Queen. Wouldn't that solve this? But no, they've got to sail to White Harbor together. Is Sir Jorah on the main boat where Jon and Dany are getting busy? Ooh, that would not be lucky for him.
Man. Man, I'm surprised he didn't have some popcorn and was standing behind Tyrion. That would have been Jorah's best move. So once again, Jorah cuckolded by somebody else. So sad. I really feel for the poor guy. He is older. It is sort of a Baelish Sansa situation. And yet, I feel bad for the guy. Once again, he loses out to another young, shorter looking dude.
Theon, I love Alfie Allen. This actor is great, but it feels like Theon has the exact same moment that he's had that he had the last time we saw him. I want to go get my sister. I want to go get my sister. I want to go get my sister. So finally, he comes to Jon Snow and says, "You're a hero. You do the right things. I'm going to do what you do. I'm going to do what you do, hero."
But Jon Snow says, "No. You're one thing I'm not. I'm not a member of one family instead of two families. You're a member of two families." He's just waiting for Bran to say, "No, sorry, you are a member of two families." Now, this is what I expected to see from Theon because, as I said, he's been around and around. I didn't really think there could be a point where he'd finally pardon the pun, nut up. But I guess this is it. All he needs is to be absolved of the bad things he did when he was a man.
Okay, so Theon did lose his manhood. But so many people in this show go to their other strengths. Theon doesn't have the smarts or spy skills of Varys, so he can't go to that. You know, Grey Worm learned how to fight very well, so Grey Worm could be a military commander. What can Theon do except take a lot of punches?
You are missing the most important part.
What's that?
What you think was a weakness was actually a strength. Because when his bro goes in for the kill, He can't hurt Theon because Theon don't have nothing there to hurt.
Well, he's so used to being tortured that he
turned his strength into weakness. I've never seen anybody smile after getting hit in that area before. But as we know, Theon underneath is like a Ken doll.
Well, also, just think about this. It's like, hey, anything you do to me is not as bad as Ramsay did it to me, so I'll be able to survive this. Now, I do have to say this. I guess captain or whatever you want to say, this who gets into the argument with Theon. I have to be honest. Are you okay, Captain?
Yeah,
all these coughs.
I'm good.
This captain that Theon gets into a fight with, he pulls a McGregor. He gets real tired. You know, he can't even go 9 rounds without getting tired. And then in the 10th round, Theon knocks him out. Spoiler alert, Mayweather McGregor fight.
Well, you really brought it full circle.
Right. Well, I had to do it because you've been coughing for an hour. So anything you want to say before you start coughing again about Theon and his quest? Do we care about Theon's quest to save Yara?
I think we only care because
potatoes,
he is
small potatoes.
But they have had him go along and go along. I guess they had a plan from the whole time. But for so long, he's been the same. It's kind of the same frustration I had with Daenerys taking so long to learn a lesson. It just seemed like they were only saving him so that at some point, and I couldn't figure out what it was since he's been pushed to the breaking point so many times, but at some point he'd be pushed to the breaking point and he would change back to a man and be strong. And he bathes himself in the ocean, was sort of a little bit symbolic. He apparently in the Iron Islands, it doesn't sting when you put salt water in a wound. It heals it.
What is dead may never sting. All right, so let's get to our final scene in King's Landing.
Mm-hmm.
Jaime and Cersei. This is crazy. Cersei comes up to the troops and says, get in positions. Jamie's like, wait a minute. Aren't we marching north? I heard the speech the other day. Jamie fell for it. I wonder if listeners fell for Cersei's good side. What do you think?
This is emotional abuse by your partner. When she says, I always knew you were the dumbest Lannister. It's so harsh. I believe that she loves him.
Dumber than Tommen? Dumber than Lancel? Come on. Like, is that how he should define himself? Well, hold on. What a
right. Are you sure? Lancel even? So
how about I killed one in a cell when I was captured by the Starks. I killed a cousin in the cell. He wasn't too smart.
Do you believe that Cersei actually loves Jaime?
Hmm.
Or does she yes love him, but in kind of a little finger, she loves him, but in a kind of a sick, twisted way?
You know, boy, that is a great question. I think,
she does end up letting him go off. She says, don't let anybody walk away.
And I was actually very afraid when she gave that little nod.
Oh, my God, gasped.
I thought the mountain was going to exhale and finally do some violence. The Frankengregor, the mountain.
Now, we also find out here,
yeah,
an important bit of information, is that apparently what she said to Euron was, before the meeting, she said, listen, if this thing actually turns out to be true, I want you to just walk away and I'll let you go because it makes complete sense that I would let you just run away without anyone grabbing you. I'll let you go and then you go pick up these guys and
the
let's
Golden
do
Company.
This. Yeah.
I think that Cersei, which a lot of people have problems with her learning to play the game because so many earlier seasons she made dumb moves, she made stupid moves. Cersei, trust her actions. She has learned. She's playing smart, and she's true to herself. She's true to the character. People all these previous weeks saying the Stark sisters fighting didn't feel true to their characters. Cersei, this is it. This is true to her. Good
and
work.
And let's be honest. This is the smartest plan.
It is.
This is the smartest plan. Presumably, enough of whatever army is finished is it wins the war will be so diminished that they can just pick up the pieces. This it may not be honorable, but it's the smartest plan if you want to keep ruling. So I guess that's why Jaime's the dumb one.
Right,
yeah.
It's the only plan if you want to keep ruling. And so,
well, there is another plan.
Look,
get on some ships.
Right.
Become an island junkie.
But it's also just get to it. This this army with 20,000 men, horses, and elephants. Boy, here we're really getting in Lord of the Rings territory, if you think about it. They come in, they bolster my army. If somehow the army of the dead beat Daenerys, then we were never going to beat them anyway, right? We were never going to beat
them anyway. That's a complete point. That's a great point. She's got dragons. I mean, two dragons are better than thousands and thousands of men.
Right. And the weather's nicer down here.
It is, although when it starts to snow, then it's the appropriate time for Jon to wear what he was wearing.
Is Jaime's response correct? He's really, let's be honest, he's really angry with her, not just because she lied to everybody, but that she lied to him. She plotted with Euron Greyjoy behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
She made him say a pledge. He's always known as the Kingslayer, the guy who broke his pledge. He said a pledge. Okay, I promise. We'll do it.
Well, she knows now that he is a WW.
A White Walker?
Weak willed.
Oh, yes, he is. He is totally weak willed. Who's going to have him on their side? Are Jon Snow and Daenerys just going to welcome this guy in and say, oh, you're here to fight with us? Does he have to meet back up with Brienne? Brienne and he keep getting star-crossed? Do they have to be together? Let's go into prediction mode. Jaime, he's headed north, we know that. Who's he going to meet up with? What can he technically do, noting that he does have a Valyrian steel sword?
Well, that means he can kill two or three White Walkers of the 100,000. So every little bit helps. I do think that he'll probably meet up with Brienne, because she's the one who was the one who talked to him tonight about, yeah, come on, you got to do
the right thing. Right.
But one person, he's not that much of a threat to anybody. I mean, I think that I think Ed Sheeran and his singing Band of Fools could take care of the one-armed bandit.
He'll probably have a chance to meet back up with his brother Tyrion. They keep crossing paths since Tyrion's on the ship going north. Jaime, he gives this look, because another great just image is Jaime putting on this glove. You know, this steel is cold. Let's put some, or I guess his hand was copper, brass. It wasn't really gold. He puts it on, and then he sees the snowflake fall on it. Love that. Love that visual way to tell the story about, mm-hmm, hey, winter is here in King's Landing.
And then
too,
we see the snow falling on the courtyard map. They finally completed it, and now it's snowing on it.
Oh, man.
Who's gonna sweep that?
Oh, well, you know, they have real great sweepers at the House of Black and White.
They do. They do.
We'll
they
bring
do.
Them over
they
from
put down
Bravo.
Some candles, too.
All right, so Jaime, is he coming back to King's Landing? He gave it a look. He has to come back and deal with Cersei. Is he his unborn child? What do you think?
I still believe the prophecy. We will see him. He will join with the other people. But
the book prophecy.
The book prophecy, that he will be the younger brother who ends up killing Cersei. But before he does that, he's going to join up with Double B.
Double B?
Babe Brienne.
Aww.
And fight for the North. Fight for all
fight
of Westeros.
Fight for the living.
Yeah.
Way to pick sides. Listen, there are bad people on both sides. Catfish, we've done it. We've covered Game of Thrones Season 7. Let's do it. We do this at the end of every season.
Uh-huh.
How does this rank? Where does it rank? How do you feel about this season? The best, the worst, somewhere in the middle? What are your thoughts?
The problem with the show is the same problem that I think George R. R. Martin is having, which is you put all these things into effect, you've got all these plates spinning, and then you've got to get a way for those plates to get down to the ground safely. And so I think
you could just drop the plates.
You can do that as well.
Plates.
And so I think a few plates got broke this season, but just by the fact that we are getting close to the end. We do have the White Walkers coming over the wall. We're drawing to a close. You talked about how many episodes you like this year. I believe.
Well, I haven't. No,
sorry.
I
you talked about how many episodes you liked last year. By that same calculation, I liked 6 of the 7 episodes this year. So I'm going to have to say it is, as you know, I have a great memory for things. I'm going to say this is my third favorite season. I think the first season still my favorite season to see the first book done so beautifully.
Yeah.
That's still my favorite season. And then I can't think of what my second favorite season is, but I'm going to say this is my third favorite season.
That's pretty good. Listeners, we want you to go to our Facebook page or go to us on Twitter, hashtag Joffrey of Podcast.
Yeah, don't forget, we have a lot of content to fill in our listener feedback podcast. So please. Give us a lot of feedback. There are things you probably hated hearing me say over and over again. Tell us the parts that you loved. Tell us the parts that maybe you didn't love so much. Tell us what you're looking forward to for next season. Just tell us everything. Anything you can think about with Game of Thrones. Tell us.
All right. So we did get some tweets while we were recording our podcast right now. I just want to get to them. Holly Huntpants, who's at Huntpants on Twitter. For season 7, she went by Snowpants. She says, really missing the live Joffrey podcast tonight. We apologize that we don't have our live stream up that we used to do on Periscope.
There's just too much on Sundays. Maybe, hopefully, we'll be able to do it for the last season. I really enjoyed doing that. There's just too much this year.
Jonathan Teglin, who's at Teglin Jonathan on Twitter, they tweeted out, "You know nothing, Aegon Targaryen. Doesn't sound as good, does it?"
Yeah, Aegon Targaryen is not as good as Jon Snow.
Our wonderful double L, Rebecca, who's at Rebecca_Beluk, BELUK, who's at Shadowcat Bex on Twitter. She tweeted out, "So good! Fare thee well, Peter. I hear your creepy whisper every time the wind blows."
Well, it's nice that he lives on.
Our good friend at Grumpy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
That's GOBERT, Grumpy Gobert, on Twitter. They said, explaining how Danny and John are related while the two are making a child, tops. And I think both Danny and John were on top, so good work for them. Let's see if we got anything else.
Well, that's a good point that gets made in this episode, too. You know, bringing everything into question. I can't have a child. Well, did you ever think maybe the person who told you that was, didn't have your best interest at heart? Woo!
A great double L at Roadcutter, that's KUTTER, at Roadcutter on Twitter. I'm going to assume this was about the scene you were talking about with Theon Catfish. They tweeted out, hashtag, who needs balls?
Yeah.
Who needs balls?
Yeah. It's better to not have them. Quick question, Bubba.
Yeah.
We know that Bran is a three-eyed raven.
Yep.
If Jon and Daenerys have a baby, could it be the three-eyed baby?
Let's hope not. That's kind of, I don't know. That's...
Mork loved that joke.
Okay. Let me say that of the seasons, I still think my favorite is season 1. I think almost every episode in season 1 is really, really strong, or at least ends with something I care about. This season, I gave high rankings to everything except episode 6. The problem started showing up, though, in episode 5. And one of the reasons why maybe it's even tough, yes, it's only a 7-episode count instead of a 10-episode count, but maybe one of the reasons why I had a hard time with last week's episode is think about Season 2. We know somebody's going to attack King's Landing. It's set up at the very beginning. Hey, they're going to attack. Oh, we got to send Myrcella off. Somebody's going to attack King's Landing. Like, we have a lot of episodes building to, okay, somebody's going to attack King's Landing. Somebody's going to attack King's Landing. Here it comes. Somebody attacks King's Landing. Season 4. Okay, we know the Wildlings are going to attack. We know Mance Rayder's going to attack the Wall. We have, like, so many episodes of, hey, we got to prepare. Hey, he's coming. We got to prepare. Oh, they're trying to, Ygritte's trying to draw us from Castle Black so they can kill us there and get through the wall easier. Then that 9th episode comes, and okay, here we go. Here it's coming. This season, we couldn't really build to anything. Think about last year. It could build to the fight with Ramses. Like, okay, we need to fight Ramses. Okay, let's go to the other northern houses, see if they'll help us fight Ramsay and the Boltons. And so, like, the whole season built to it. The plan to go get a white, it showed up, if I'm not mistaken, in episode 5. It's like, hey, why don't we try this? You couldn't build up to it. Next episode, let's try it. And so maybe the fact that it couldn't build and that did feel so rushed, and it was a bad plan either way, makes me feel a bit tougher on this season than I should. But episode 3 was really great. Perfect. Episode 4 that ends with that dragon attack on the loot train. So good. So I'm going to put this right about the middle. On the upper side, season 1's the best, then I really like season 4, probably second best. Season 6, just because it did have those highs, maybe a bit better. But I still think this is better than the worst season 5, and maybe a bit better than season 2. So that's where I'm going to rank it. Listeners, go to our Facebook page. Tell us where you rank season 7.
Great. Let's get a lot of information so we can talk to you in a couple weeks and give out that prize that Hey Ref said, I'm too good for this prize.
All right, so where do you think we should do, Catfish? How should we end this Season 7 podcast?
Well, I think we should end the Season 7 podcast the way we end every podcast. We thought for sure this year that we would see Joffrey. I still think that Joffrey's going to show himself as the Night King.
Oh, yeah.
But in honor of Joffrey, every week, we have honored someone by saying they represent an aspect, a part of Joffrey that we should all strive to. It's very hard to do. Sometimes I've done it politically. I believe my Joffrey of the year last year was Donald Trump. In conscience, I can't give him anything this year. So my Joffrey of the year.
Joffrey of the year.
Joffrey of the year. Joffrey of the season.
Let's hear it.
There's someone who shows up every Sunday. Okay, just like Joffrey showed up every time he was required. Someone who shows up every Sunday and they put all the work in. Just like Joffrey, they put all the work in. And they also, have to deal with fools.
Oh, man.
As a co-host.
Oh, my God.
So my Joffrey of the year.
I can't wait.
Of course.
It has to be.
Is Mork.
Wait, what? You mean Mork from the Twin Peaks podcast, Twin Peaks, the Gifted and the Damned.
Yeah, my Joffrey of the Year is Mork. For always showing up and having to deal with silliness, it is Mork. So please listen to him on the Twin Peaks podcast, the Gifted and the Damned.
As well as the Strain Got Your Milk podcast.
Yes, he brings it every week.
Every week. Well, we should go to...
Now, wait, what about you? Well, what about you, Bubba?
As you know, I always come last. So
that's not what I heard.
Okay, so we've got a couple of loyal listeners who sent out their Joffreys of the week. This isn't season or year.
Okay.
Our good buddy at Grumpy Gobert, David on Twitter, tweets out a couple. He says, my Joffrey of the week is Sandor for not letting his grip on that chain slip so that the Crate White killed Cersei and so much of these problems would be over with.
Okay.
So good work to Sandor. I agree with that one, Gumpy Gobert. Really, really good. But then he also has one that really goes with pop culture. It's really the best. It really gets to it like there's nothing else. And so what was his other Joffrey of the week?
Okay. He said, Ms. Taylor Swift is my Joffrey of the week because just like his Grace Joff, Taylor also annihilates her enemies with poise and grace.
Oh, man. That is so... Taylor Swift, man, chart topping. She's got the golden locks like Joffrey. Very good, Grumpy Gobert.
Wow. So are you going... So just a quick question. Yeah. Are you going to... like Joffrey, take credit for other people's,
Joffrey of the week. No, I won't. I think, what do I always say? You can't have a Joffrey who is not a real person because real people like Joffrey exist.
Okay. Yeah. That makes complete sense.
And so, who has been in the news an awful lot this week? And no, whoever you say, that's what you're thinking. Because I've been thinking about this, so I've been planning this out. So who's been in the news in
awful... Well, I believe it was Sebastian Gorka.
True. But no, that's not my job.
Was it Mayweather?
No. Who's been in the news an awful lot this week?
Donald Trump?
No. He wants it. He's
Harvey?
Tweeting for it.
Harvey.
Hurricane Harvey,
your Joffrey of the week.
Hurricane Harvey, no.
Uh-huh.
So my Joffrey of the week is every week I see this person on Sunday. Every week I see this person on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And they say things that don't make any sense.
Uh-huh.
They don't seem to help the podcast too much.
Okay.
And a lot of times when I look at them, I think, you really, like Joffrey, have kind of exited the stage and left all the work to others.
Okay.
So my Joffrey of the week.
Yes.
Is myself, Bubba, at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
Wow, and Mork is at Extraordinary Ride.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if you happen to listen to our other podcast. Okay.
With a W before the last R.
All right, everybody, 2 weeks we're going to have our feedback podcast. Get in your thoughts, get in your opinions. What do you want to see in Season 7? This is everything and anything that you are thinking and feeling right now about this great show that has entertained us for all these years. Because it's going to be the long night. We are waiting until 2019, most likely, people. So get ready. Also, a couple weeks after that, we're going to have our book bitchin' serious breakdown of this series. So, for everyone here on the Joffrey Podcast, my name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And I'm Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67.
And you will hear us in a couple of weeks on
the Joffrey of Podcasts.
My Joffrey goes to me.